T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
There's a drive hit high to left center field and deep. Back goes Gardner, back by the wall, and this one sails into the bleachers. Michael Chavis has his second three-run homer of this game, and it's 17-10 Yankees.
Bullfrog, doing it again.
Well, that was
some
fun.
Kind of
or was it, Governor? It was a game more Ozzy Osbourne than Ozzy Smith. It was Crazy Train in London. 17-13. It sounds kind of Revolutionary War era. Well, I guess by 60 years prior, but everything that America could have done to get Europe off of baseball, I think it kind of did yesterday. Josh Lewin, laughing Rob Bradford.
Making me laugh. If I wasn't laughing, I'd be crying.
I'm sorry. Tom Caron is here, too. He's more pensive, though, really. He's thoughtful.
Well, I just think the ugly Americans brought an ugly American game with them last night, didn't they?
At two?
Tom A?
Yeah. Yes, I agreed. I'm Josh Lewin, by the way, and the three of us will keep you regaled in some measure until the top of the hour, and then we will have the actual Herb Chambers pre-game show for you. We will get you set for game two, but whatever the heck this series is turning into now. And let's break it down, guys. The one thing that dawned on me, I think around 2 in the morning, London time, is I'm thinking, boy, all I've been doing is apologizing to Britain for, it's not usually like this. I swear, it's not usually like this. And then it dawned on me, they've been doing the same thing because of the weather. The English people are saying, oh, it's not usually like this.
Oh, it should be. I love the weather.
Normally here in the summertime, it's like 70. It's not 92 and humid. But yesterday, every Brit was super apologetic about the weather. And so maybe it's even Steven. We apologize for that brand of baseball.
No.
It's not usually like this. They were apologizing for the weather.
No, That game last night, that's like you might have 150-degree weather. That was the only – it wasn't even Steven at all.
What we
put these fine people through last night shouldn't happen to anybody. I mean, we talked about this yesterday before the game. You said it, Josh. You sort of worry. You sort of worry about how the game is going to unfold, what you're going to be presenting these people with. It's good that David Price isn't starting because it would be so slow. And then we get that.
Well, all right. I'll take the other side of it.
Well, that's your prerogative to be wrong.
As ugly as it was, my worry was it would be a four-hour game that was 4-2 with 5 home runs accounting for all the offense and 32 strikeouts combined.
No doubles, no triples.
That is the ultimate glass is half full.
Well, fine. Live a little with a glass half full. There was action in that game last night. There were doubles. There were guys running the bases. It was a great play to end the game on the double play. Red Sox, by the end of the first hour, as glacial as the pace was, you had to be entertained.
We saw
a team fall behind by 6 runs.
You didn't have to be entertained. That first inning had 12 runs, and it was not entertaining.
I disagree.
It was a massive amount of time
between. They were down 6-0. But when they rallied from a 6-0 deficit in the first inning, this place was rocking.
There was a massive amount of times between pitches.
They should have gone home after the first inning.
For
well,
tea.
That would have been a tremendous hour of entertainment. If that was the entire baseball game, if it was a 6-6 tie after 1 hour.
Well, somebody behind me said, there's bloody 9 of these.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, one inning, that was great. And then
my favorite question is somebody said, how many times do they get to bat? It's like, as many as they can.
And it
really?
Seemed like, yeah.
Seemed you
like,
allow that? It's like, yeah, we do.
It seemed like it was going to be infinite yesterday. And the three longest 9-inning games are all Red Sox-Yankees games. They're 445, 443, 442 is what that one ended at yesterday.
And let me jump in a second. If you thought yesterday was hellish, the 445 Major League record was game 2 of a day-night doubleheader at Fenway Park. The first game went extra innings. I can't make this up. I did both games. And it was the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Oh, my God.
So we had been on the air for 24 hours at that point.
Wow.
A Friday at Fenway Park where the second game set the major league record. An 8 o'clock start. So it was 1 a.m. when the game ended, 2 a.m. when we got off the air with the postgame show and the Jimmy Fund wrap-up. Okay? So it could be worse.
So you were
That's all I'm telling you.
You were a warrior well be up before yesterday.
Yeah. You were still – were you interning at Nesson at that point? Where were you at
I think
point?
I was getting field hockey scores on the whole
side. You were doing a great job. Games that last an hour 45, by the way.
You're listening to Tom Caron and Rob Bradford, Josh Lewin, trying to regulate this foolishness. And the Yankees are taking batting practice as we speak. Very crowded field, again, of interested observers. Reminds you of a postseason game, right? Just a lot of people behind barricades on the field taking a look.
Yep.
We saw yesterday not only Red Sox and Yankees, but Royals. We actually had the Duke of Sussex. We had the lovely Meghan Markle. Am I allowed to call her lovely, or is that?
I think you're required to call her lovely.
I'm not going to call her anything pejorative.
No, of course.
Don't want it to be creepy.
She was great in Horrible Bosses, by the way. You see that movie, Horrible Bosses?
I have.
So
remind me, because I've seen both Horrible Bosses 1 and 2.
Very under the radar appearance by Meghan Markle in that. She was the UPS driver.
Come on.
Yep. The UPS driver.
Really?
You see Horrible Bosses?
Yeah.
But you don't know to look for that.
No, she's a UPS driver toward the beginning when they say, oh, not, are you kidding me? Not all UPS drivers are this good looking. And it was Meghan Markle. There you go. That's why I'm here.
Thanks for that.
That led to the fairy tale romance.
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah. All right. So, I don't know if we need closure necessarily on yesterday because we picked this thing apart, like, you know, till it was just carcass at the end yesterday.
What time did you get off the air?
It all runs together. Yeah, the tough part was getting back.
Yeah.
I got on a shuttle yesterday. Doug Lane can attest to this. It took a circuitous route to drop a couple other people off, and I ended up about two and a half miles from where I needed to be, was able to jump in a lorry and get home the rest of the way from there. But it struck me that had I just jumped off an hour and a half before I jumped off, it also would have been about a two-mile lorry ride. So I just, anyway, about 2 in the morning is when I packed it in last night. For you guys, Rob, you were running everywhere yesterday.
Yeah.
God save the Queen. How are you doing?
I'm fine, man. Like I just look at last night's game, and you know, we keep sitting through these sort of games this year. There's been a lot of them. Maybe not this long, but there's been a lot of them. But this one, I don't think we can just say this was just. And I heard this in the elevator and everything else. Oh, what do you expect, Red Sox, Yankees? This was an outlier. This was not like any game that we have seen. I mean, it really isn't. And the time obviously proves that. But to have the starters get whacked around like they did, to have almost every pitcher get whacked around like they did, to have, you know, all of this, it wasn't like anything that we normally see. And that's the unfortunate thing. Remember, you asked me, what are you looking forward to seeing? I was looking forward to seeing something new. The newness.
You
right.
Saw
but I was looking forward to, you know, the fans cheering for foul balls, and everything else. But what we got was something completely different, but not something we'd really wanted.
There were London fans here seeing their first ever baseball game, seeing something they had never seen before. And there were thousands of people from Boston and New York who've seen thousands of baseball games, seeing something they had never seen before.
Yes, right. I agree.
And the fact that they almost came back again.
Yeah.
That they had the tying run at the plate in the eighth inning was remarkable to me. I mean, it really was. To me, that was the most remarkable thing is, and you said it, I think, with us on Nesson in the postgame show, there wasn't a pitcher who could get anybody out.
No.
I mean, you went through 16 pitchers.
Two of them were halfway decent, and 14 really struggled. I mean,
exactly right. Yeah. And if you brought the two of them back up for a second inning, they'd have probably gotten
this
out.
Where I get in my theory now,
go
TC.
At it. Go at it. Rob's got
so
it.
So you got a theory on why this happened?
I'm going to guess your theory, and my theory has been, and this was, I mean, I had this theory 20 years ago, so I hope that you and I are aligned on this.
Okay.
It's that, to me, it's a glorified game of Russian roulette. That if you spin the chamber, say, oh, I don't know, 8 times, as the Red Sox did yesterday, there's a pretty good shot that one of those is going to be the bullet you don't want. So the more times you go to the bullpen, the more you increase your chances of somebody being really, really off. Is that your theory,
no,
too?
No, not at all. But I will say this before I get to my theory. Then why do you explain two starting pitchers, who obviously, listen, they have bad games. We've seen Rick Porcello, I remember in Toronto a couple of years ago, had a very similar outing. But you have two pitchers who have almost the exact same results. That is something you never, ever see, usually.
Oh, so you're thinking there's something else in play here.
I think it was the baseballs. I think it was absolutely the baseballs. And listen, you know, people don't like talking about this. Players don't like talking about it. Coaches don't like talking about it. Certainly Major League Baseball doesn't like talking about it. But this isn't anything new. The baseball, we have documented proof that the baseball over the last few years have been wildly inconsistent over the course of a year. And you look at, I'm not talking about the ball being hit hard. I'm talking about the effect the baseball had on the pitches. Look at Porcello. Look at Tanaka. Look at their sliders. Because I went back and did this exercise, and you'll see dramatically different rates, horizontal rates, than what you got for certainly for the year and in the previous three starts. And, you know, I think that was it. I don't blame the stadium. I don't blame the dimensions.
No, it wasn't the stadium.
I don't blame the turf.
It wasn't the dimensions because this wasn't home runs. I mean, there were home runs, and I think just about all those home runs would have been gone in most ballparks.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But to your point, there were just balls being barreled. There were doubles to the gap. There were hard-hit balls. Listen, we know it this year more than ever. It's why Rob Manfred had to finally acknowledge it. They started using these baseballs in AAA this year. Home runs are up 50%. 50%! I mean, for the first year, they're
right.
Using these balls. Baseballs are leaving AAA ballparks at record rates. So let's just say, I'll go full conspiracy theory for you now, Rob. Let's just say, of all these newly wounded, tighter, seamless baseballs, you took the ones that are most likely to create some offense for your showcase event in Europe.
Like I said, there was smoke, there was fire, not enough baseball. You know, that was it. And, you know, when I talk about the inconsistencies of the baseballs over the last few years, I've had pitchers tell me last year that, you know, you were getting baseballs that were warped. They were literally dented. And I've heard that from numerous pitchers. Now, they'll tell you we're trying to get better. I think an underreported story, not to go too far down the flawed baseball road, underreported story is about a year ago, Major League Baseball bought Rawlings.
Right.
So the testing is going to be maybe a little bit more controlled than normal. So whatever. It is what it is. My biggest thing, Josh, is that I come away from last night and we can't just sit here and accept this was a Red Sox-Yankees game, because there had to have been a reason it was that way.
All right, in terms of pacing, let me ask you guys this one. The commissioner is here. All the commissioner's minions are here. Is there a little confab going on now? Do they bring the umpires in? Do they bring the managers in and say, guys, we are exporting this product or attempting to. We're trying to grow the brand. You guys are freaking killing us with the tempo. So home plate umpire today, you are enforcing the rule, but don't leave the box. Stay there. Pitchers, let's freaking go. Does that conversation need to take place? Because I'm sorry, 442 is not what you want to roll out there to Europe.
No, it needs to take place. I can't imagine it's taking place.
No.
Because
why would it
again,
not take place?
Because to make this happen, you need the buy-in of the players' union. You talk about Rob Manfred and his minions. Tony Clark's minions and his minions and their minions and their minions are all here as well.
Right.
Because this is 50-50. This is funded by Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association. And they're in a precarious spot right now. Talking about all of these things for the future of the game, you can't suddenly have breakfast over your crumpets and tea this morning saying, we need to do this today. We need to speed up the game today.
I'm not saying you implement new policies today that stick to a piece of paper. I'm saying you have a wink, wink, nudge, nudge with Tony Clark in the room, because I'm sorry, and I love Tony Clark, but if he thinks it's good for his players that – I'll put it to you this way. If this is a hit it out of the park event and all of Europe is all in on baseball
– I get it.
There's more merchandise sold.
Yep.
Everybody's excited. Maybe there's a team over here someday in 20 years, whatever. But more jobs for players, more money for players. Why would Tony Clark not want that? So,
the question is why, and I don't know if it's Tony Clark personally, but
right.
Why hasn't the Players Union wanted any of this? They have pretty much resisted every step, every attempt to speed up the game. They like the game the way it is because they have played the game the way it is their whole lives. The current group of Major League players think the game is fine. Do they not? They believe
so this is,
they should just be left to play this great game the way it is, that it'll regulate itself, that these things are cyclical. You hear it all the time.
Right.
Mike Napoli was with me in studio last weekend, retired at the end of last September. He said to me, I played my entire career thinking there was absolutely nothing wrong with this game. There goes Rob Bradford. And the way it's played. And then he came on the air and said, last month I watched a game as a fan the first time. Oh, my God, we have to fix this
game.
Yeah,
we were right.
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 Well, we are right. I'm not disputing that we're right. So you said, does it need to be done? Will it be done? I said, yes, it needs to be done. No, it will not be done because they could jeopardize the entire process of improving the game for the longer haul by trying to speed it up and rush it today.
I remember Mike Hargrove, of all people, Mike Hargrove, the human rain delay, came out about a year ago and said, I can't watch this. It's too slow.
Right.
Mike Hargrove said that.
Yeah.
I think that to TC's point, you know, we always ask about the pitch clock, right?
Sure.
The pitch clock, why isn't there a pitch clock? It makes all the sense in the world. Once you start doing it, they're going to get used to it, much like the Dave Ortiz stepping out of the box. One year he's like, I can't believe they're making me do this. Next year he's saying it was the best thing I ever did. The reason why they don't do the pitch clock is because they don't like being told what to do.
Right.
I mean, this is it in a nutshell. So, Josh, when you're saying, hey, can we have the wink, wink, nudge, nudge?
Nope.
If they have a hint of being told what to do, you know what they'll say? They'll say, well, okay, give us a bunch of baseballs that aren't warped.
Right.
Right. And so
it devolves into this right away whenever they talk. And listen, to get to something Rob just said, the idea was, you know, we won't need the pitch clock because these kids are going to come into the majors having grown up with a pitch clock. They'll work fast. Have you watched Mike Schwarren with men on base?
Right.
Have you watched Josh Taylor with men on
base?
These young guys are the slowest guys because guess what? It's the exact opposite of what Major League Baseball thought. They're not coming here trained to pitch quickly. They're coming here saying, I can slow it all down. I couldn't do this
because I'm allowed to. Right.
I'm allowed to slow it down.
It's like
chewing
tobacco. And I'm not even being facetious. I mean, this was supposed to be a thing, you know, where in the minor leagues we're gonna prevent these guys from chewing tobacco, and then they get to the major league. And guess what? They're chewing tobacco.
Well, what's the whole thing about, you know, if you keep your kids, you know, completely cloistered off when they go to college? They get completely drunk every night because they never had a chance to. But
I gave my kids beers when they were six. I said, here's, you know, get after it now.
So when they're 18, no big deal. I don't have to go with a glow stick and get blown up.
The investment in the kegerator was pretty
impressive. I thought that was a good move by my part. The hat thing with the two cans of beer.
Parent of the Year, Tom Caron.
Thank you. Caron. I appreciate that.
So it is Tom Caron and Rob Bradford, Josh Lewin, and standing by, Sean McDonough, Dave O'Brien, and Joe Castiglione.
Kind of pacing around us, waiting for us to get off the headsets.
I do feel for Sean because we're kind of keeping him from his scorecard. In fact,
he's looking at Rob Bradford's open container like this could
be
a dirty bomb that would go off at any moment and ruin his copious notes.
That is correct. So Sean is going to take his copious notes and go elsewhere.
He's had enough.
I can't say that I blame him. By the way, one more by the way.
Good to see you, Sean. Come by anytime.
While we continue to count you down towards the top of the hour in the actual Red Sox Herb Chambers pregame show, what are you guys doing for sustenance right now? Because
I've had 18 bags of chips.
All right, that's the Rob Bradford experience.
I had a wonderful traditional English breakfast today.
At what time in the morning?
10:30 when I got right before I got across the street from the ballpark.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you win.
There's another side. I've discovered this. If you go out the opposite end of where the press entrance is, over by the Aquatic Center,
I've seen the Aquatic Center.
Right behind the Aquatic Center is a whole development, like a high-end, upscale. There's a casino, restaurants, the bars.
For those people in Brighton, if you want to swing on by.
Yeah. It's the taxi driver this morning, the lorry driver.
The lorry.
Was telling me that that's like the old days. That area was the epicenter of where, like, the Cockney-accented traditional Londoner would have lived.
Well, now it's Westfield Mall.
Now it's Westfield Mall. It's all gentrified. And, you know, it's pretty much a legacy place.
Yeah, well, there's a Shake Shack right around there.
Five Guys. No, there's a Five Guys near my hotel.
I just can't get there from here. And that's
Five Blokes.
Five Blokes. That
would have been better. Five Chaps.
Well played, old chap. That was very nicely done.
But if you fancy a good American burger.
I just fancy this Mars bar.
Why? So what's the deal? You said sustenance. Like, people aren't eating? What's the problem?
Well, no, it's the getting around. I mean, so basically this Olympic setup here, and yeah. I get it, because any Olympic setup is going to be, you're a mouse in a maze. I mean, that's how every Olympic setup is.
Yes.
But this thing is laid out like a wheel. There are five spokes, five bridges, five gates, or you can go in and out. If you go a little bit northeast when you meant to go north, you're on the wrong spoke.
Yeah.
You're now so far away from where you meant to be.
Right.
And you can't get back. I mean, there's just no, you know, you're in one thin tube going one way. So by the time you are spat out that tube and you realize, oh, my God, I went down the wrong spoke, it's church. I mean, that you're
and
done.
And none of the drivers from you know, back in the city proper seem to know anything about that.
Right.
Like, I'm like, yeah, Bridge 5. Oh, they got five bridges there, do they?
Do they? Yeah. Quite right.
One of them. Yesterday, we were in the taxi halfway along before we figured out he was taking us to West Ham's old stadium, which is the other side of the O2
yes,
arena.
And I hear it's lovely.
Yeah,
but
and then he went in this whole lecture how stupid West Ham is for moving here, how there's no atmosphere. We just got lectured.
Really?
It was our fault West Ham had moved here.
You guys lost the plot on that one.
When they had a great stadium across town.
So this stadium, and for those of you that weren't around yesterday to hear us just kind of waxing poetic about what this thing
is.
That
was before we saw baseball here.
Well,
there's no more poetry.
No, at all. We killed all the poets yesterday.
I got a haiku or two. That's about it.
There is a black batter's eye. That's fine. There's a lot of white seats just to the left and just to the right of that. To your knowledge, Rob Bradford, did that come into play yesterday?
Yeah, well, Chavis said that the white seats actually did come into play a little bit. And
I didn't realize we're sitting in some, too. I mean, it's happening to the fielders
right? So here's the thing. I was ready to tweet in the seventh inning. They had just done the wave. I'm like, good for these fans that they're sitting here. They've already been here for 4 hours, and it's a 10-run deficit or whatever it was, and they're cheering and everything else. And I'm like, look at how many people have stayed. And then I actually, just before I sent the tweet, I looked up, and I realized that a lot of the white were just seats. Yeah. I thought they were people, but they were just seats.
No, Soylent Green is people.
Yes.
Yeah, Soylent Green is people.
They.
And by the way, if you're having trouble with sustenance, I actually saw a Soylent Green stand over by Bridge 3.
That doesn't surprise me.
But I haven't seen it since Clockwork Orange. But you look at it, I give these people a ton of credit. It was loud yesterday. They did stay for a long, long time. I don't blame them at all for leaving after the seventh inning. And you mentioned the Red Sox coming back, and that's sort of the unfortunate thing. If you did watch the seventh and eighth inning and you sort of knew what was going on, you're like, oh, my goodness, they're in this. They actually could win this or tie it, and it's this absurd, absurd situation. But I think by then people were like, hey, listen, I only signed up for a couple hours and maybe seven innings.
Have you – I don't know if this has been a story, because I'm, you know, with the team at the hotel, and I don't want to go into the sharing a taxi with Alex Cora to the Kensington Palace and all this stuff. But, you know, I'm in the inner circles of everything. And let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But there – do you know they were letting employees go yesterday? Has this been a story yet?
I don't think so.
So, apparently, they all had staffs in so early because the first one – and they had budgeted for an extreme game of 3.5, 4 hours that they were actually letting the stadium, technically, I'm told, didn't have enough support staff or employees. There were no, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard it. They were like pounding the message of the last trains are
I heard
leaving.
The last train.
And
right.
I mean, but the last one was like, my God, get the hell out of
here.
What you know?
That makes sense, because in the media room after, it's just assumed that people are going to be out there for a couple hours after the game. Somebody came in and said, how much longer are you going to be? And people were so like, how dare you ask us how long we're going to be? We're going to be a couple hours. And the nice lady was just saying that because she's like, listen, you know, people have to leave and come back because they're not used to this sort of like turnaround with the game.
Right.
And another thing about, now that you say it, I went out to the concourse about the seventh inning. The trash cans were disgusting. And now, first of all, no trash cans in London. And I looked it up. It was because if you go back to the terrorists and everything else, they don't like to have a lot of them. But not a lot of trash cans around. But the trash cans were overflowing. And I'm sympathetic because they finally did get to him. But to your point, I think that they just didn't have enough
people. There was nobody here
people.
To pick him up. Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's end on that garbage, literally.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you, because we do have to pause for a moment, tell you what's trending, et cetera. But Rob Bradford's here. Tom Karen's here. I'm Josh Lewin. We're counting it down. We're now about an hour and 40 minutes away-ish from the first pitch of the second game ever in London. So stay with us. I'll tell you what's trending right about now. Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. After the barn-burning 17-13 loss to the Yankees yesterday, Game 2 in London at 10:10 this morning, Boston time. And we'll bring you live coverage, of course. Joe Castiglione, Sean McDonough, Dave O'Brien have the call on the Shaw and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Big news for the Celtics. According to Woj, Kemba Walker plans to be in Boston today. He'll finalize the formal agreement for a four-year $141 million deal with the Celtics. Woj also said Kyrie Irving will be meeting with the Nets today, trying to get his four-year max deal done. No deals can go through until midnight tonight when the calendar flips to July 1st. In other NBA news, the NBA implementing a coach's challenge at the upcoming summer leagues and anticipates using the rule during the regular season. What could possibly go wrong? That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Warren getting knocked around. He deals. Swinging a shot. Line to right. That's going to carry. Back it goes. It is gone. Aaron Judge slams one the other way. A wicked line drive for a two-run homer. And the Yankees are running away with this one now. 14-6.
Well, since Tom Jones is technically an Englishman, I think he's Welsh, we can say it's not unusual, I suppose, when the Red Sox and Yankees go 4 hours plus. What was unusual in many ways, first of all, the game was in Europe. Second of all, the baseballs might have been a little cattywampus, according to our old Rob. Yeah, according to our old friend, our dear chap, Rob Bradford. There's a lot to still unpack from yesterday. Josh Lewin, Rob Bradford, and Tom Karen joining as well. So get you ready for game two of this London calling series. It'll be Joe Castiglione and company on the call. But before we leave yesterday completely, just kind of talking about the actual game itself as it pertains to the Red Sox. And Rob, you pointed this out yesterday. Red Sox finishing up with an infield of Chavis at first, Marco Hernandez at second, Nunez at short, and Christian Vasquez at third. I know the Brits probably didn't care about that, but if you're a Red Sox fan, even like on a scale of 10, if you're a 3, you know that's really off, and you got to be a little bit concerned.
Well, it kind of shows you, when, as I said, when you're looking at this series in April, and you're like, who's going to be the infield in the eighth inning of the first game of the London series, and you're not thinking that, Chavis and Hernandez and Nunez and Vasquez, and I think it just speaks to where they're at. They have this run of hamstring and leg injuries. Right. It's been nuts.
And they're on turf here. They're on turf for the next three in Toronto.
And Holt looked terrible running around yesterday. As Cora pointed out, Devers should have had, normally would have a triple when he had a double. Bogarts, I'm surprised he's playing today. He said he's cramped up in both camps.
And I think what we've talked about, the unintended consequences, right? Unintended consequences of changing the baseball. Unintended consequences of coming to Europe is the fact that I'm not sure last week one of these guys wouldn't have ended up on the injured list if not for $60,000.
Yeah.
I really do. Has said that, but I picked up a little bit of that vibe. Like, what am I going to tell Devers? I'm going to tell Benintendi? I mean, that's 10% of their salary. The Yankees had to make a decision on Giancarlo Stanton during an afternoon game. Right, there was no wait till after the game for tests because they were getting on a transatlantic flight after the game. I mean, there are permutations of all of this that do matter. I mean, $60,000 might not mean a lot to somebody making $20 million, but it does mean something. And it means a lot to a guy making the major league minimum which is whatever, 500 and
yeah,
whatever it
know,
is. So I think that does factor into some of this. You're carrying, as you said, Rob, three or four guys who have nagging hamstring injuries.
Yeah, and so this is the takeaway so far. Maybe we'll come out of today and we'll be like, oh, what a great baseball game, and they're on their way. They get the day off. Now they're going to feel better about themselves. But there is too many things like the ones you just talked about, TC, which is there's too many things that are out of the ordinary in the middle of a baseball season when you're fighting for your life heading into the All-Star break. There's just too many of them. And hey, I've had a great time in London. I have. And I think that the players are probably having had a decent time in London too. But I couldn't help but walk up to the stadium today thinking, you know, these guys, well, you know how getaway days are. It's like, oh, my goodness, I got to get everything ready in the morning, and then we're going to fly out after the game. This isn't a day in London today. This is just a business day, and
it's exacerbated when you play an afternoon game after a night game when the night game went 5 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking of hitting a pub last night. This is a pub I've been dying to go to.
How do you get in one of those without being recognized?
I don't. I get recognized. Okay. That's how I live my life. Okay. When you're in the fishbowl, Rob, you embrace the fishbowl.
That was one of the shocking things about being over here.
Did you hear about this? I posted on video yesterday.
Oh,
Ed Miliband. Do you guys know who Ed Miliband is?
No.
Neither did I. I had no idea. Came to me, introduced himself to me as a huge fan. He was the head of the Labor Party who lost the prime minister election in 2015.
And he's a fan of yours.
He's a fan of mine.
Yeah.
Spent some time as a diplomat in Boston. Huge Red Sox fan. Watches the games. Has Nesson go. The whole thing. Comes over and says, big fan of yours. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm sorry, who are you?
That's really cool.
And he says his name. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah, right.
And he leaves. And I scope him out on Twitter. He's got 750,000 followers.
Really?
And somebody says, he's basically our Hillary Clinton. He lost the last election. And is still in Parliament.
Look at you. What?
So, you know. I shot a thing with him on my phone.
Yeah.
Total bootleg, right? Posted it on Instagram, whatever. And all of a sudden, like, 9 BBC people came over to me after. What did Mr. Billman say?
Well, yeah. You're big for Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I told them. He said, Brexit is a mess, okay? And it needs to be. And they were like, it's like, no. He said the DH is a mess. I mean, it's one for baseball.
I knew I was huge over here when I – some Red Sox fan dropped his phone and didn't realize, and I picked it up. Think about that. That is a lot of street cred, picking up someone's phone when they don't realize that. Well, my goodness. I'm more of a grassroots type of guy, one fan at a time.
Yeah, I on the other hand, just take an entire party
exactly.
And unify them. Had I been with Ed Miliband in 2015, he would have won the election.
That's fair.
Okay? And then I would be friends with the prime minister.
Things I didn't think I would hear when I woke up this morning.
The Whigs, the Tories, and the Tom Caron party.
They're not the Whigs and Tories anymore.
No, they're not?
Because I asked. He said no.
Yeah, we don't know. Hey, one thing we do know, Captain Segway, is that there is a Red Sox lineup out. You guys kind of referenced it. Mookie is leading off.
Give me a sounder. Give me an interstitial. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mookie's leading off and right. Rafael Devers, I think, makes a lot of sense in that two spot now.
Yes.
I mean, as long as he's going to be doubling 7 out of 11 plate appearances, which is what he's got right now. Xander Bogaerts at short. JD's DHing. Chavis at first. He became a little bit of a cult hero over here yesterday.
Yeah, two guys had good games yesterday. He was one of them.
He was one of them. Christian Vasquez will catch, and he did a lot of that yesterday in 90-degree heat. Up and down for 5 hours, but he's right back out there. Jackie Bradley Jr. in center. There were a couple of opportunities, by the way, yesterday for Jackie to wow the European throng. Oh, it's Spider-Man. He made that catch, but he didn't make the catch.
But that one, the Voit double, which was straight away 385.
Yeah.
If you're going to cite one time where this park affected it, if it wasn't 385, if it was 400,
well, that's true.
He goes back to the wall and makes a catch.
I thought it afforded him the opportunity to look really cool, you know, climb the wall and make the catch.
He looked very cool.
Eighth place hitter is Nunez at second, and everybody who's got Sam Travis in the pool today, you got him, number 9 hitter in left field.
By the way, on a real we're talking about the negative aspects of the London trip and everything. One of the coolest things for Alex Cora, and I haven't had a chance to ask him, maybe you have, is how cool it must have been to tell Sam Travis he was coming. You know, what does he make a year in the minors?
Oh, yeah. Here's $60,000,
so,
and by the way, you get to go to
Europe.
You get
to come with us as our 26th guy, and you get paid $60,000. You know, what I hadn't heard until Friday when I talked to him at the workout, Michael Chavis told me when he got sent back down at the beginning of the season, he circled this weekend as his goal. My goal was to be with the major league team and be on the roster
in time for London. Huh.
So it's pretty cool that he did that and hit 2 3-run home
runs. What's amazing is that he – so I think July 2nd was his first game last year. He played for the Lowell Spinners.
Right.
I mean, think about how far he came. And obviously, you know, he had the PED suspension. So he – but he had to get going again. He had to make up some ground. When you're starting with short season Lowell Spinners, you have to pick up some ground. And here he is. And we can't forget, I've said this a million times, but in spring training, you said when he got sent down in spring training, he circled it on his calendar. He was sent down before Dahlbeck was. He was sent in like the first wave.
The first wave. Even after he had hit the 3 3-run homers in his first nine trips to the plate in spring training. So he hits 2 3-run homers in one day in England yesterday, which is still pretty cool. The Yankees will be without Luke Voit today. That looked like the one rather serious injury yesterday. Everybody else, it just seemed like it was dehydration, cramping up. It's 92. You're playing on turf. And I mean, it was like a spaghetti Western. Everybody's just falling over, So hopefully today, a little bit better in the hydration mode. Hopefully today, and it's not going to be in the 90s today. It'll be in the 70s today.
And to that point, when Xander Bogaerts was trying to detail when he felt it, because remember he kind of ducked out of the way of the line drive at first base?
Yeah.
And so I asked him after the game, I said, did that have anything to do with it? He goes, no, I was good at that point. But as I approached second base, I felt it in my right leg. Then I turned the base, and I felt it in both legs. I mean, it was just like a spaghetti Western where you're forgetting I got shot in my left arm. Oh, no, wait, it's my right arm.
I just got to go down.
I got to go down.
Yeah. The Red Sox and Yankees today, just a little after what will be 10 a.m. back in Boston.
How do you do that? How do you remember?
It takes me a moment.
I'm having trouble with that.
Look at that.
What do you got?
It says local 140, home 840.
On his home screen.
Yeah, but that's not correct.
Right above the picture of me that he keeps as his log screen.
Oh, no, it is correct.
What are you talking about?
No, you've got it in reverse.
Technology.
I was thinking, you said 140 and 840. I'm thinking that's a 7-hour difference, and that's not right. But you meant from 840 to 140, which is a 5-hour difference.
Yeah,
see what I did there?
I've got an ice cream headache. Yeah.
It's a lot earlier. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful. Now, this is cutting, by the way, this is cutting into my show, my once-a-week show.
Wait, this is supposed to be.
Yeah,
that's
the
right.
Wiggy Reamer Bradfoe show.
Well, I feel bad for Reamer, first of all, and Wiggy. I haven't met Wiggy yet. I feel bad for him.
Well, Wiggy was lobbying to actually come over here, which I actually wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have been opposed. You know Wiggy.
Oh, it would have been great.
I would not have been opposed to that.
Oh, it would have been great.
Yeah, Wiggy takes over London.
He would have been banned from the stadium for today.
He would have gotten
through one game. I had and in fact, you guys played a part in this.
You're welcome.
The first time I got slapped by MLB cybersecurity.
What do you mean?
Tracked me down. We took a picture of the three of us doing the show yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Suppose it. You could see my credential.
Oh, yeah.
And that is it. So I got this nasty email.
Come on.
From MLB cybersecurity saying, we've seen your credential in a photo posted. Here's a link to your post. Please go delete it and then send us confirmation that you've deleted it.
You deleted that post?
I did.
Oh, man.
Well, been retweeted like a million times.
Okay, help me with this.
You can't show anything on social media or the internet that shows your credential.
Because they could replicate it.
Correct.
And...
Which makes sense. I mean, it absolutely makes sense when you stop and think about
it. Can people just stop being jerks globally? I mean,
then
we could all just live our lives.
According to my lorry driver this morning, no. I got a 40-minute lecture on how this country sucks, but it's not as bad as our country, which is not as bad as 8 other countries. So the world is, according to my driver this morning, rapidly going to hell in a handbasket.
Well, welcome to your morning. Everything stinks. I'm Josh Lewin. He's Tom Caron. Rob Bradford over here as well. We'll take a quick timeout to try to get undepressed and soldier forward. Tell you more about the Red Sox and what they need to do. We're not just going to keep it to London. We're going to put a cap on our London talk for a little bit and talk about what the actual Red Sox need to do to not be double-digit games behind the New York Yankees, because sorry to ruin your morning again, but they are. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
1-1 pitch, hit on the ground. Great stop by Gregorius to second for one on the first for a double play. Tough luck again for Travis. He hit a bullet, but Gregorius has had a terrific night at short. Fireworks go off here at London Stadium, and this game ends 3 minutes shy of tying the Major League record for longest nine-inning game. Red Sox battled from behind all night long, from 6-0 down, from 17-6 down, but in the end wind up losing 5-4.
17-6, 17-76. That all kind of plays well,
go.
Right? With the Red Sox.
They think of everything.
And the Yankees being in London. And yes, the great American pastime, of all things, had an Iowa zip code for the first five innings, but starting with a six. So we absolutely showed them what the heart of America looks like yesterday in so many ways. Josh Lewin, Rob Bradford, and Tom Caron with you. A little past the top of the hour is where we're taking you to, and then we'll get you the Herb Chambers pregame show, Red Sox and Yankees round two. They're starting to clear the field right now. I believe that is a bloke by the name of Jamie Redknapp, who's down there in full Red Sox uniform, fellas. He is a retired professional footballer who is a pundit at Sky Sports. And I guess they've outfitted him in the full batting practice garb. I suppose they're going to have him do something wacky out there at some point. But we'll keep our eyes on that.
Oh, speaking of which, I mean, how did we not get to the wackiness, in-game wackiness of everything?
Oh, yeah, that's a good segment.
The freeze, so in case people don't.
Did you see? Yeah.
So the people don't know. The freeze is a thing the Atlanta Braves do where a very fast man – dressed in a suit, I guess.
Superhero costume, basically.
Yeah, that's a good – yeah, the freeze like the Incredibles. And they give a fan an opportunity to race against them on the warning track, but they give the fan, what is it, a 30-yard head start or something like that?
Yeah. Well, the freeze starts basically from the foul line, and the fan
well,
starts from left center.
They started at the same place. They just gave the fan a head start.
A head start, right.
So the fan won. The fan won
barely.
Yesterday. Very, very close. But you talk about people you met. I met the freeze on the subway, and
wait,
I found out.
Wait, that ruins the whole mystique. I mean, shouldn't he just be able to run over here?
Was he's still in full regalia?
He was very tired. He was dragging, man.
He shouldn't like, be taking public transport.
He was like, I'm so tired. And he's like, so he's training for the Olympics. This guy,
yeah.
he went to Kennesaw State. I felt bad he lost. He lost to this guy, this New York Yankees fan.
It's very rare. It's about one time out of 20, I believe, in Atlanta that you can actually beat the freeze.
I don't know if you know this. He's really fast. But that guy for the Yankees fan was fast. And then we had the mascot race, which Freddie Mercury won.
Fastest I've ever seen Freddie Mercury run. They didn't have that in the movie.
It's amazing. Winston Churchill and who else?
Henry VIII.
Loch Ness Monster. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So they tried to bring a lot of that, a lot of the different things. They had that was a very impressive wave they did about the seventh inning.
They had the kiss cam here. They're not really used to the kiss cam.
No. It took off to uncomfortable levels. It was weird.
Well, because the English are not known for being very lovey-dovey.
Yes, they shook hands. It was weird.
Right. It's the shake hands cam. See, how do you do, Cam?
But so, it was a good scene. Like that was, you know, it was a good scene. We're busting on the game itself, but the actual scene was impressive and enthusiastic, and I give them a lot of credit for coming out and doing what they did. And we apologize to them.
Anything, I mean, Sweet Caroline seemed to go off without a hitch.
Yeah.
They tried to do YMCA, dragging
the... How was that? I didn't really watch.
Lame.
Was it?
As it always is.
Well, but was it up to the normal lame
well,
standards?
How can you mess up the YMCA? I mean, it's two hands in the air this way, then
true.
That way, then bend a little.
Yeah,
then.
Here's the thing. And both sides had walk-up music. You know what I mean? There kind of was something, and again, you guys hated the whole experience.
No,
I am a glass half full guy.
Hate the whole experience.
I thoroughly enjoyed
that's
myself so yesterday once I was done dehydrating. And I the one thing I took away from this is Major League Baseball teams can do a better job of marketing the between inning stuff on the field, can do a better job of maybe I'm wrong. I mean, visiting players don't get walk-up music, do they? At Fenway?
No.
A Yankee doesn't get walk-up music.
Not requested, no.
Right. Well, no, but I mean, they don't.
This isn't real. I mean, yes, the Red Sox are listed as the home team, but this is for everybody.
But it was kind of cool. is my point.
Yeah.
And maybe you do a little more for the other team as part of the game presentation.
Oh, you can't do that. You
Why not?
You remember when the
Tampa Bay
Rays?
Well, that was pregame. That's batting
BP
practice.
And they
yeah, that's
shut
batting
off
practice.
The music.
I'm talking about the fan. Again, you're going inside baseball. I'm trying to make this a better fan experience.
I know.
But it
for
was the millions it, of
but
fans
your point
that
is well,
I speak
your point
for.
Is well taken, and the fans. I think we're engaged. They enjoyed a lot of the things. We talk about the foul balls. They love the foul balls. They love catching baseballs. And we said this before. One of the things that was striking was you go to the restroom, nobody was in there. Nobody.
Right.
Like, during the game.
No, they held it for 4 hours and 42 minutes.
They did.
No, they did because it –
because I went three times.
We're hydrating like crazy.
At soccer matches.
And we're old as prostate
well,
issues.
That is true.
I mean, it all
yeah.
factors in.
But, no, you think at soccer matches, they treat it like a Broadway show. You don't just get up in the middle of the first act. You
right.
wait until intermission. And that's what they do in soccer. They're trained to do that. So if there's action going on, it's just in you. Well, we're not going to be rude. You know, these lads are fancying a sport for us. So, you know, let's hang around and see what they're doing. And then if there's an intermission, we'll go. But then there are no intermissions. It's just 2 minutes. That's not really an intermission.
Right.
That was great. I mean, that was very noticeable for me. As like you said, I went to the bathroom five times. But it was very noticeable. And I'll give the fans a lot of credit. I'm glad. And walking up here yesterday, it was a cool scene.
You went
out there. It was a
yes.
cool scene. I mean, there's no way around it.
I think in the end, I think this is going to be a hit. I do.
I agree.
For all the negative stuff we said about it, even last night, the players after that horrific game almost admitted to a man, at least the position players, not the pitchers. The position players all said it was cool. It was the biggest crowd I ever played before. What was it, the biggest crowd since 2003? Is that what I saw? Something like that?
Yeah, nearly 60,000.
Nearly 60,000. And I, you know, Michael Chavis, Jackie Bradley, Mookie Betts, they all talked about the fact that it did feel different. It did feel special. And you know what? A little different and a little special in the middle of a 162-game season is not a bad thing.
I hear music. I think that means we need to take a quick timeout. Is that correct?
Is this the end of the hour?
No, it's close enough. Well, one last break, then we'll come back and wrap here, getting you ready for Red Sox and Yankees from London. Josh Lewin, Rob Bradford, Tom Karen with you from London. The London series wrapping this afternoon, or actually this morning back in Boston. Biggest takeaways so far from Tom Karen is that he shared a cab, probably a limo, actually, with Alex Cora going
just
to Kensington Palace.
Just a black cab.
Biggest takeaway about Rob Bradford is he peed five times yesterday.
So yes.
That's where we
and
are.
Nobody, I did it all
I had
by
the
myself.
Over.
Nobody else was in there.
But
right.
I had the over.
Speaking of over and under, and we talked about this a bit yesterday, the over-under for the entire freaking game was 11.5 runs. We had that by the first inning.
That's
yesterday.
A bad line for Vegas. I mean, usually they're right on. I could have told you that. I would have taken the over all day long.
Guys, in the couple minutes we have left, and Sam Kennedy, by the way, I'm going to roll in an interview we did with him late in the day yesterday just to talk about this experience here in London, what it means for the Red Sox going forward. Where the Red Sox are right now, we promised him talk about that. Rob, in 60 seconds or less, what can they do right now to be better than what they currently are?
They have to get healthy, first of all, and because, you know, talking to John Henry yesterday, one of the things he said, you know, we're talking about the trade deadline and spending money. He's like, listen, and I'm paraphrasing, but I've spent the money. You know, this is supposed to be a very good team. We have the highest payroll, and it's hard to argue. If you have everybody back and you have everybody healthy, you should be able to compete. But they haven't been healthy. They are getting guys to perform better, which is a step in the right direction. But you got to get the Evaldis of the world, these other guys back.
Tom Karen, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to repeat what I said yesterday because I don't think it's changed, and it plays off what Rob Bradford just said. You need to get Nathan Eovaldi back, and you need to make him the closer. You need to put him on the back end of that bullpen, bring Heath Hembree back as part of that back end of the bullpen, allow Barnes and Brazier to go back to the roles they played last year. And I think this team, because, again, what we learned again yesterday, as bad a start as it was for Rick Porcello, it came down to the bullpen. It was the bullpen that could not match the Yankees' bullpen as bad as the Yankees' bullpen was. If they've spent the money and you're not going to be able to add a closer at the deadline, make Nathan Eovaldi the closer for the rest of this year, then go find your closer in the offseason and find a new start.
And Cora keeps saying it, and it's so true. These two series, we can talk about these games here, but these two series feels like make or break. It really does. And this Toronto-Detroit thing,
yeah.
It does.
And that's how this will ultimately be judged, right? It, was this a success? Whether they win or lose today, to me, it's what they do over these next six games. If they go in a tailspin and lose five out of six because there's a funk that follows them back from Britain, then this will not have been a good thing for the team.
If you had to predict, if there's going to be a very small tremor, a trade made that's, you know, maybe not the biggie that everybody's clamoring for, is there someone specifically you think they might target, or someone you could guess that we might see here, kind of, you know, Steve Pearce or Nate Eovaldi style from last year, if not that kind of a big name, just somebody that you're thinking of?
Well, I said it yesterday that you have to sort of go out and try to find certainty. And certainty is the guys along the lines of what they got relievers before, Brad Ziegler and Addison Reed. I think you're looking at that sort of guy. And there's those guys are to be there to be had, but you're going to be competing with other teams. And the Red Sox farm system, they can do it. They can pull up. They can get Madison Bumgarner. They could. But it would thin them out a whole lot more. And if you have to go up against another team like the Yankees for a guy like that, you're not going to win that battle because they just have more ammunition than the minors.
How about you go get Ty Buttrey back from the Los Angeles?
Oh, I like that.
It's not a name that will blow you away, but you could probably bring him in without messing up the salary cap, and gives you another hard-throwing guy out there in the bowl. I mean, to me, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a lesser-known name that they'll probably have to overpay for as far as prospects go, but who will be under $1 million and will not adjust.
Take your pick from the Cincinnati Reds.
There you go.
Gotcha. Hey, fellas, great stuff. Appreciate you both.
Great job by you.
Yeah, well done.
I don't know about that.
How many times did you go to the bathroom yesterday?
Probably 12.
Yeah. But you've been on the air for like 18 hours.
Nine of them actually in the bathroom.
Congratulations.
which is pretty impressive.
That explains a lot of that heat and smell yesterday.
Yeah.
I get it.
Sorry about that. So, Tom, we'll be watching for you on NESN.
Post-game show after the game.
When's the next Brad Foe show?
I'm going to crank one out after this game. I didn't want to do
Yeah, so
one.
When's the next Brad Foe show?
Tonight. Tonight. There you go.
I got it.
You see what I did there?
I got it.
All right.
Unfortunately.
Not exactly the lead-in for Sam Kennedy I had in mind.
do you want to say something else in between real quick?
No, I'm done. I'm out. But I did want you to hear a little bit from the Red Sox team president. He's been very instrumental in getting the Red Sox to be a part of this. He's on, so many different committees, but this is one of them. So let's roll that in a little bit from Sam Kennedy from yesterday. Sam, it seems like the lack of chaos is pretty impressive here. Everybody seems to have a handle on what's going on. How thrilled are you with how it's coming off?
Well, we're ecstatic to be here. Very grateful to Major League Baseball and all the great people on Park Avenue who worked hard to pull this off. It's a great environment, great opportunity for Major League Baseball to highlight two great clubs, and most importantly now, we need to focus on getting two wins while we're here.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to that one in a second. But I know you're on various committees that basically want to pollinate the game, is what this comes down to. You want to spread the seeds as far as the wind can carry them. And I guess the simple question is, what's next? I mean, I know who's coming next year to London, but maybe where else would a Red Sox or a Yankees or somebody go in the future?
Well, I know that Commissioner Manfred's talked about playing somewhere on the continent in Europe, and we've talked about Paris, we've talked about Munich, we've talked about Spain, you know, maybe Madrid or Barcelona, but we'll hopefully get through these games first. We'll see how the Cubs and Cardinals do next year. But it's just a great opportunity. If you're going to grow an industry with technology the way it is today, the world being so small, to take your sport live to a different country, new eyeballs, is probably the best way to grow the game. And we're really excited to be a small part of it here as MLB takes baseball to the next level.
Just to wrap real quick with you, the season obviously not exactly what anybody thought. From the David Ortiz situation, which thankfully we're getting some clarity and hopefully closure on soon, to the team not being what everybody wanted it to be. As we hit this milepost of being a little bit past halfway, is it time to maybe take a deep cleansing breath and just say, okay, here's what we got coming up, we know what we need to do?
Yeah, we feel like we haven't had that 10-game winning streak that just about every team has throughout the course of a 162-game season. So we definitely feel that a lot of the solutions to the problems that we have will come internally. This is a great, talented group. We saw what we're capable of last year, but there's no hiding it. It has been frustrating, discouraging, sort of taking one step forward, then a couple steps back. But I do think we've got a lot of life left in us, and I think we're capable of making a run. We've shown signs of it, and hopefully coming over here to London with a sellout crowd of 60,000 plus will be just what the doctor ordered to get us going, get us on track. And I feel like I've said that before over the course of the season, but we are now at the halfway mark, and we've got some guys coming back which will help, and I like our chances for being right in this thing down the stretch.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Josh.
So hopefully, indeed, the Red Sox can kind of kick it a little bit towards the tape here, because there really are no signs of the Yankees slowing down. That's the problem. The Red Sox could actually go on this win 7 out of 10 thing. It just doesn't seem like the Yankees are in the mood to do much worse than that. If they're going to be winning even 5 out of 10 for a while, it's going to take 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 for really a pretty good stretch to catch up. Mookie Betts will lead off in right field today. Rafael Devers, despite some cramping issues yesterday, he's back in the lineup at third. Xander Bogaerts was cramped up yesterday. He's at short. J.D. Martinez will DH. Michael Chavis at first, and he won a lot of people over yesterday with two home runs. Christian Vasquez, a lot of squatting up and down again. He'll be catching, batting sixth. Jackie Bradley Jr. in center. Eduardo Nunez at second. Sam Travis in left field. A quick reminder that really pretty much all year, and there will be a small break coming up near the All-Star break, but there is a podcast that we're cranking out for you. It's called Sox Daily, and you're welcome to download it when you go to WEEI.com. We'll have game recaps for you Monday through Friday, something that you've hopefully found by now, but if you haven't, I'm taking care of that and having a good time doing it, so please feel free to jump in and download. We'll have something for you tomorrow to recap this London series. And we will have, I'm sure, much to talk about. We already had 10 pounds of flour in a 5-pound bag yesterday because that final was 17-13. The official pregame show is straight up. Red Sox and Yankees coming up from London. I'm Josh Lewin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.